I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holden Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Dustin Ross, my love, how was your weekend?
My weekend was great until last night.
Tell me what happened last night, boo.
They robbed our girl Angela Bassett once again. We have a lot to be thankful for.
No, continue, because yeah. Your friend got something to say on it.
Well, they robbed her, and I'm upset. I'm one of those people, okay? Mm-hmm. Damn it, I wanted Angela to win. Mm-hmm. I don't care about nothing else, okay? Mm-hmm. I wanted her to win, so I was upset, and I'm still infuriated. I feel I'm having PTBD, okay, from Beyonce losing album of the year.
Okay.
You know, okay. I'm still raw.
It's from cumulative. That.
Yes, it's cumulative for me.
Yes.
And so, you know, I was all right until then. Prior to that, I had a wonderful weekend. I was in Columbus, Ohio.
Here? Oh, shout out to Columbus.
Yeah, I'm taking care of a little business.
Of course,
visiting a little bit, had a great time. So it was wonderful.
Busy, booked, and blessed as always. So I knew that you were going to say that. Mm-hmm. Did you post something on IG about it?
On Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, not on Instagram. It wasn't even worth it. Okay, like that lady said, who was saying that the Beyonce concert was evil. May the dealings of the Lord be upon you. That's for the Academy.
Yes.
Okay. May the dealings of the Lord be upon them. I'm upset.
I know. And it's not just you, right?
Thank you.
Clearly the culture is pissed the fuck off this Monday morning as we record this episode. I do take a different view.
Mm-hmm.
It's this. Should Angela Bassett have won at least two Academy Awards by now?
Mm-hmm.
We know this. I can tell you the roles.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, obviously, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Absolutely.
That's an obvious one. And I mean, pick one. I mean, personally, I think she should have got an Oscar for the way she played Katherine Jackson in The American Dream.
Yes.
The Jacksons.
I don't want you.
I don't want you.
Okay.
I don't want you no more.
Okay.
Ring twice, hang up.
That's right. You see?
But a pecan ice cream.
Okay.
Don't get me started.
Thank you.
I believe.
I'm mad.
In the divine talent of Queen Angela Bassett.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put that on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, my dear Dustin Ross, I cannot take nothing from Jamie Lee Curtis. And see, this is
when we start talking about
robbing, right? Now, if Angela Bassett had not won an Oscar to Aunt Becky, you know,
right.
Let's burn the whole shit down.
Right.
But you cannot take it away from Jamie Lee Curtis. So this is where it gets hard, I think, as the culture. We had this same conversation as a culture when the late, very, very great Chadwick Boseman lost to Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Mm-hmm. Another white person we like.
It's not even to me. I don't even know him. I don't know the motherfucker. I just know he can act his ass off.
Yeah,
for me, it's not even liking. It's just, it's Sir Anthony Hopkins.
And there's a respect due there, and I understand it.
It is.
I get it because, again, for me, Jamie Lee Curtis is on that list of people that we like. We love Jamie Lee Curtis.
I hear you, and I'm gonna hold the space for that, Dustin.
Thank you.
It's not that I like or dislike her. I just have to give the credit where it's due in terms of the thespian abilities. Jamie Lee Curtis is one of the greatest talents of our time, white, black, or other. And she also is just now winning her first Oscar.
And they're the same age.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like Jamie Lee Curtis ain't got no body of work.
Yeah.
Holler at Trading Places.
Yeah.
you know
what it's like? What it's akin to?
Having to pick a favorite child?
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. And also, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were nominated recently for an NAACP Image Award,
yes,
right?
Yes, we were.
And we were
trying to trigger me this morning. We were
in excellent company that category.
We were.
And who better to lose to, right?
Yeah.
Than a juggernaut like The Daily Show.
It's The Daily Show. It's Trevor. It's Roy. Again, you know, and then that's why it's like, were we robbed or is the category filled with exceptional, remarkable generational talents?
Yeah. Sometimes, that's where the cookie crumbles
I
get
it. So I feel you. So Queen Angela, and what's fucked up about it is that's the first award.
Mm-hmm.
So now all the black people at home and in the audience tight.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate what Michael B. Jordan did, looking like gold.
Creed.
Looking like a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan Majors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wish I'm going to give Jonathan Majors the commentary that Mama Gloria gave me when we want to watch What Happens Live.
Which was, Ebony, please.
I wish Jonathan would have kept walking with Michael to wherever Michael got his attire. Yeah.
He did look like he had a musket on his side.
I thought he was an extra in Django.
It did look
it
like that.
It was giving Django.
It did look like he rode a horse it to did. The Oscars. You know?
It did. It looks like he tied his transportation up outside.
Like he picked up his credentials with a lasso.
Woohoo!
Like that is what it looked like. We love Jonathan Majors.
Oh, my God.
Right. Now, we can say that up in here.
Yeah.
You know?
Outside company better not
say it.
That's
right. And you will get cussed out by us.
With a smile.
That's right. But we're going to say it today.
Yeah. So, no, I feel you. The good news is, because what I do is I take on vicarious pain of people that I love and care about. Mm-hmm. So, when Angela was not awarded the Oscar, I just was like, I just hope this gorgeous queen does not internalize this.
Yeah.
So I was very happy to see her showing up looking like everything at the Vanity Fair
after party.
That actually literally made me feel better to see that she put on her beautiful new clothes and still gave.
Mm-hmm.
So she's okay. I have to think.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I love to see that. To me, that
gave me a sigh of relief.
And it's good sportsmanship on her behalf.
She's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Well, I had a lovely weekend. I was in the city of brotherly love and supreme sisterhood.
Okay.
As I enjoyed my regional conference with the North Atlantic North Atlantic region of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Which you represent so well.
Thank you, baby. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. It was great seeing so many jurors.
Wow, okay.
So many jurors.
Okay.
I couldn't get to workshop. I couldn't get to plenary without Sora. Hey, Sora, we love the podcast and we love Dustin.
Oh, bless their hearts.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got a lot of love out there at our North Atlantic Regional Conference. So
that's
love
good.
The SOARs and love everything that y'all do to support us.
That's
so
right.
So good.
Good.
Now let's get into this nice, juicy, messy docket that Ashley and I have produced for
today. Super producer.
Yes. So we're going to open it with Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally I wouldn't open a Black-centric presentation with Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
But this was just too good.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a personal anecdote to add to these notions of the do's and don'ts when you choose to cohabitate, especially with a wealthy man.
Okay.
I might know a little about it.
I can't wait to hear this hot take. Okay.
Hot take.
Okay.
Scalding. Okay. Also, Mike Epps, this was everywhere. We were getting tagged, Dustin and myself. Mike Epps caught with a firearm at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the story. But what I really want to get into on this one, D, is the apology. And how I think people, and this is for all people, not just celebrities, let's be real careful with putting apologies on social media when things have not been disposed of yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put a pin in that. And then we're going to wrap up with Dr. Shaquille O'Neal, because he's going to tell you he's Dr. Shaquille.
That's
how he be letting me know when I address him. Dr. Williams is Dr. O'Neal. Okay, Shaq. Okay, brother. Dr. Shaquille O'Neal, who actually just turned 51 last week. Shout
happy
out to
birthday
him.
To Shaq.
Happy birthday, Shaq Attack. He is being accused, Dustin, of avoiding service.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all seen this in the movies, right, where somebody knows they about to get them papers, and they either don't open a door or they open it a little bit and somebody throw them in. Or, you know, it's always like a little moment in cinema. But we're going to talk about what that moment is like in real life.
Okay.
What to do if you feel you are... that someone is avoiding receiving your service and what your options are. And then I'm going to surprise some people with what the courts would say Shaq is doing and what he's not doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm interested
it's
to know.
It's good, right?
Yeah. Because I was like, he ain't got to answer the damn door. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, call it a premonition.
Okay.
So opening up with Mr. Tiger Cobbler Nation Woods, a lot of people are not old enough to remember that.
When he tried that shit.
He tried it.
I
Oprah
definitely
gave
remember.
Him the face.
I really miss Oprah in the talk show space.
The talk show space. Mm-hmm. I concur. Oprah gave him really, Oprah's face said, really, Negro?
And really? We all, it resounded around the world when he literally made up that Coogee sweater of a word. It was so many. so
conglomerate.
Many
it was a conglomerate.
Of a word. I just, anyway.
Oh, Tiger.
What's he up to now?
So, Tiger, of course, was dating this woman. We all saw her on the tours with him. We saw her on the greens with him in the last few years. And listen, here's the thing. Not for nothing. Tiger really be trying it when it comes to blackness and black culture and all the things. But he is remarkable in this way. And correct me if you feel differently, Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
The culture still going to always go up for Tiger.
Yep.
And me too. Me included.
Yep.
When Tiger is putting.
Yep.
When Tiger is in the competition. Black culture is still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Well, you know, he be tripping, but that's still our cousin.
Yeah, kind of the same thing that they not us, do with Kanye West.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of the same thing. Uh-huh. Like they continuously wrap their arms around him.
I concur. And then actually, HBO had a great Tiger Woods documentary called Tiger, a two-parter. It's worth checking out.
I will, because I didn't even know that was out.
Yeah,
I will watch it.
It was worth checking out. It gives you a, you know, when you really see how him and Earl, his daddy, mm-hmm. daddy Earl, mm-hmm. was getting down, mm-hmm. it gives you some perspective. Anyway, Tiger has, you know, had a time these last really about 5 to 10 years. Back surgeries, crazy car accident. And this mm-hmm. is all post the Ellen of it all, mm-hmm. when she got upside that head mm-hmm. with them golf clubs. Mm-hmm. So we recall that.
It's not funny. But
that's
it's
why
funny.
You laughing. Okay, right. Bye, Negro. Ellen got upside that head. She said, let me show you how we get down and sweep.
I mean, she said she gonna putt. Okay. She said what?
Put golf, Negro. So Tiger Woods, y'all. So she got him together. He recovered from that. And then, you know, subsequent single car crashes. Mm-hmm. What's the blood alcohol? It's mm-hmm. just been not great. But Tiger is the cat with 9 lives.
Yes, he is.
See what I did?
I love how you did that. He's Tiger like the cat. That's what it was.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because love he that. Is still, as of right now, Dustin, as we are talking about this, scheduled to be in the Masters soon, coming up.
Yeah.
About a month, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And on the eve of that remarkable comeback, which again, everybody's going to be glued to their television sets and tweeting and all of this, this Negro got to deal with, you know, the real fuckery of his own creation, might I add. So his girlfriend, Erica Herman, I believe is her name, she is saying that she and Tiger lived together for 6 years. That's mm-hmm. substantial. I think we can all agree.
For sure.
Now, she's bringing two causes of action, Dustin. One is she wants to pierce this NDA, which is very common when you're in these kind of relationships. An NDA is almost brought out on the second date. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you why. Because if you are not familiar with this particular lifestyle, this could look really crazy. But you got to understand the nature of being in an intimate relationship with someone with stakes this high.
Yep, it's different.
It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
What is normal pillow talk, you know, for everyday folk hits differently when you are working with a publicly traded company, for instance.
It's got, you know, a different
saying?
Value.
It literally mm-hmm. has a different valuation.
Yeah.
Or when your pillow talk could influence billions of dollars of bets in Vegas, for
mm-hmm.
instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just, I want people to zoom out, as you would say, mm-hmm. On that one. So these NDAs are not as nefarious on their face as they could appear.
Yep.
They are designed to protect some legitimate business interest. That said, Erica is alleging that this NDA should be thrown out because, and she's right in terms of, I'm not saying she's right about it being thrown out, but she's right, Dustin, in terms of NDAs are not valid on their face if they are protecting sexual abuse or harassment.
Okay.
Now, what I find interesting, and when I say interesting, I mean I don't like it, is that you're using that argument that the NDA is invalid because of new federal laws that limit the enforceability of them in cases of sexual abuse or harassment. Yet,
there is no
allegation of such in the lawsuit.
I was confused when I was reading the notes for today. I was looking for it after I read that section. I'm like, okay, well, what did she say
he
did?
So now where's that? It's giving what we talked about in a previous episode recently with, I believe it was Drew Sidora,
mm-hmm.
where you're talking about, you know, you're hinting
yes.
at financial infidelity,
yes.
but you're not making the claim.
Yeah, and physical.
Yes, and I almost had to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in my when y'all come into Judge Ebony courtroom, coming mm-hmm. to a syndicated screen this fall,
mm-hmm.
please don't hit me with no what you was about to do. I'm not interested. Keep it on the playground. Make the allegation or keep it shut.
That's it.
So back to Miss Erica. So that's one cause of action, the piercing of the NDA. She wants the NDA thrown out. The other cause of action, she wants that bank.
Yes, she does.
She wants that bag. She's also suing Dustin for $30 million under the argument that was what she was entitled to due to the tenancy oral agreement. Don't do that. Because some people they can't even say oral with a straight face. You know?
Especially in this case.
Especially in this context. She's arguing that they had a tenancy oral agreement that ultimately, and under some math, would be worth around $30 million.
She.
Go on, Dustin. Go on and say it.
No, I can't. because I want us to have season three. So go ahead.
I do too. I want us back at the award nomination. I want to come with you next time.
But just know. I would if I could. Okay.
Well, we're on our farewell season.
I ain't even see 3,000, but go ahead.
Listen. So she's asking $30 million from a trust held by Tiger Woods, saying that that was, you know, more or less what they agreed to during this 6-year cohabitating relationship. Now, this part is funny, how she talks about how Tiger's team got her out the house.
Oh, I hollered. Right. Packed her back. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Miss Herman, Mr. Woods has instructed us to have you pack a weekend bag, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For a little holiday, mm-hmm. you know, because that's how rich mm-hmm. folks don't go on vacation. They're on holiday.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Y'all are going on a little quick holiday excursion. So please pack a few things and come with us to the airport. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see Erica now. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Excited. Let me. Packing her cabin bag.
That's it. That good carry-on.
Uh-huh.
And then literally once they got to the airport, Dustin, she was alleged that the agents told her that she was now locked out of the residence. Tiger Woods hit her with that Deborah Cox. Ain't nobody supposed to be here.
Nobody, okay.
Damn. Damn, Erica. I have felt that. That's fucked up, Erica. Goddamn. So,
woo.
She's suing Jupiter Island Irrevocable Homestead Trust. That's the business mm-hmm. entity, which, again, that's a rich people thing. They put all of their assets in trust, irrevocable trust, to protect themselves just in this kind of circumstance, exactly for this reason. She's saying that the 15-time champion golfer violated an oral agreement that allowed for her to live in his home with his two children. She says that she was allowed to live rent and expense-free, Dustin, for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
In exchange, though, this is important, for personal services that she provided to Mr. Woods. Personal services. She also says, and this is where, to me, legally it gets interesting, that there was 5 years left on the deal when he broke off the relationship. So she's being very specific, you know. So according to her, she's saying this wasn't just a let's see how it goes. She's basically saying that Tiger Woods said, you know, up until 2028,
mm-hmm.
you can be here.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's coming up 5 years short on that agreement, she wants to be cashed out. Mr. Woods' lawyers, of course, are arguing that she was merely a guest. Merely a guest.
Merely. Your girlfriend of 6 years.
Merely a guest.
Mm-hmm.
They say that Mr. Woods never negotiated an oral tenancy agreement with Ms. Herman, nor was there ever a written tenancy agreement between him, her, or the trust. So let's break that down. Do I believe that there was never a written tenancy agreement? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Do I believe there was an oral contract of some sort?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
You damn right I do.
Mm-hmm.
I actually felt triggered. We're going to get to it in a minute.
Okay.
Okay. The documents say that Mr. Woods notified Ms. Herman on October of last year that he was ending the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The court filing then says that he informed her that she was no longer welcome in the residence. Mr. Woods arranged for Ms. Herman to stay in a local luxury resort mm-hmm. and provided funds that she could pay towards her new residence. Okay, so let's pause. Normally in these types of circumstances, okay, let me back up. Let me start by saying, because of all of this here
mm-hmm.
and because of my own personal experience with this kind of cohabitation with an extremely wealthy man, I personally, Dustin, mm-hmm. I'm not saying for anybody else listening to this, but I'm saying for me, I will actually never cohabitate with someone I'm not married to ever again.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you how I've arrived to this conclusion. Number one, I've never been a big fan of shacking
mm-hmm.
unless you need to shack.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be clear. Like, if you don't have a pot to piss in and you just mm-hmm. need to be an unapologetic, hobosexual.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A hobosexual, yes.
Yeah. If you need to cohabitate, to squander, to squat.
Then in that case, handle your business.
You need to do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us highly favored and highly blessed
mm-hmm.
that are not in need of someone to split bills with or in need of someone to take care of your living expenses,
mm-hmm.
I do not recommend it. Here's why. It undermines your power. And it puts you in an unnecessarily vulnerable position. And I say unnecessarily because I just qualified the statement.
Right.
If you need it, then do what you need to do.
In that case, it's necessary.
Then it's necessary. But if you know you don't need it and you're just doing that to live above and beyond
mm-hmm.
what you can provide for yourself, know that you are putting yourself in an unnecessarily vulnerable position.
Okay.
No matter what he, she, or they
mm-hmm.
said.
Mm-hmm. Because people, it could come from anybody.
And I've seen it come from everybody.
Yeah.
Any and everybody. Truth be told. Okay? Because here's what it looks like. You start the relationship off, at least this was my experience, and everything's going lovely and wonderfully. Mm-hmm. Then typically this is how this shows up. Somebody wants to move the relationship in a more formalized capacity. Mm-hmm. Somebody's realizing that the power dynamics between the wealthier party and the lesser wealthy party are coming into conflict. And so the lesser wealthy party is saying, to ensure my stability as I continue to lovingly and voluntarily be with you and build this life with you, mm-hmm. you know, let's put some formalities in place. And normally those formalities look like marriage.
Right.
And then the wealthier party, you know, and you can see this play out in the Sex and the City movie. Remember first movie?
Ah, yes.
Where Carrie was in that bathroom and they was at that auction.
Yes.
And she was like, she didn't have shit at the end.
Yes.
That's why we at this auction today. Remember that?
Yes, and I have forgotten all about that angle of the story, but
remember,
yes.
Big and Carrie were living together, happy and yep. content. And then Miranda, her lawyer friend, was like, bitch, be careful.
Yep.
Because ultimately, this is cute and all, but when you move into apartment on Fifth, that's Big's apartment. Mm-hmm. Remember this? Mm-hmm. That's Big's apartment. Mm-hmm. And if he wakes up the next day
and wants your ass out of here,
you ain't got nothing but them motherfucking Manolos. And Miranda was right. Just like in this case with Erica Dustin, I'm afraid sis is in a losing posture. So when you sign up for that cohabitation absent marriage, you are uniquely vulnerable, typically an unnecessary risk. And he can say anything, or she or they, mm-hmm. because again, this now all works all kinds of
mm-hmm,
ways.
Mm-hmm.
In my situation, I was told within 6 months, there would be a decision to marry, or I would be well within my rights to me leave the relationship, mm-hmm. because that's where I was. I'll mm-hmm. just say that. I was at a point where it's like, listen, I'm the complete and total shit.
Mm-hmm.
You either want into this in a permanent mm-hmm. way or you don't. Mm-hmm. I respect either choice.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to sit up here and continue to waste valuable time of mine and my fertility.
Right.
Let's be very
right.
clear. Okay. While you continue to get everything you want on your terms only.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any real protections and I don't have really any real assurances.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner then agreed with that. And to my good fortune, when I decided that the clock had run out, and he proposed himself, but it just didn't, the shit didn't feel right to
okay.
me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so once I decided it didn't feel right, I made a decision to say, this is not what I want to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to activate the clause of our oral agreement.
Right.
That says, this is not going in the permanency that I would require for us to continue as a couple. So I'm going to ask you to leave the residence
mm-hmm.
and maintain the 6 month
mm-hmm.
duration, which you agreed to,
mm-hmm.
while I use that 6 months to go on and figure out the rest of my life and my security.
Sounds very fair and reasonable.
It was very fair and reasonable, and that's why I agreed to the terms. Now, while I say I was fortunate, is because the gentleman that I was involved with reads from the Gospel of Dustin Ross,
mm-hmm.
and he did keep it playa.
Mm-hmm.
He kept it playa.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out for me. And in that 6 months, as you know, I looked around, I found a place I wanted to purchase,
yep.
and the rest is...
Yeah.
Happily ever after.
That's you damn right. That's
very
right.
Very happy. Y'all gonna see just how happy in a minute.
That's right. Can't wait for that.
But I was fortunate. I do not believe Erica is going to be fortunate. What we're seeing already from Tiger Woods and his legal team, Dustin, is that they are denying all aspects of this. And she can take him to court. She's taking him to court. But I believe by the time all is said and done, by the time she has spent money on a legal team to chase these dollars, she does not have any children with Tiger Woods. I believe she's going to get pennies on the dollar for this $30 million claim. There were some other facts in here that I didn't even bother going into the minutia around. She said she had $40,000 laying around mm-hmm. and his team confiscated it.
And said she got it through inappropriate means or something.
Basically trying to imply that she... stole it from Tiger.
Oh, okay.
You thought she was getting it from side hustle.
Well, I thought they were trying to say that she got it from, you know, being a hoe.
From with other people or with Tiger?
Both them hoes, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But I just thought that she was saying that his people were trying to say that she had gotten the money through some means that were against the boundaries of
the relationship or their agreement. Fair enough. Either way, rookie mistake, Miss What's Miss Erica? Erica. Y'all about to call her something else.
So was Tiger.
Yeah. Rookie mistake, Erica. First of all, did you not watch American Gangster?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watch American Gangster, you know you don't leave your stash money inside the house.
You are bringing up all of these memories for me today from these classic, this classic cinema. Okay.
You know, I'm going to give you a cinema review.
Yes.
We might need to do another show.
Where we review classics. Whenever you're ready, let's do that.
Hey, Jake, I know you listened to this on the pre-review. I'm going to get at you. I'm going to get at you. But yeah, that people need to watch these movies for the gems. Denzel's character had that money where? Outside. Under the concrete.
And thank God for that.
That's the stash money, E. E, you fucking up. You can't have your stash money where you at.
Like he gonna let you get it out of there. You see, he barely let you get yourself out of there.
You barely got three pairs of panties out.
He sent you the sandals. Okay, send it out.
And your flat iron.
Send it out to
and
sandals.
The Dyson. Uh-huh. That's another rich man move. They all got a Dyson blow dryer.
A Dyson blow dryer.
Ladies and men with man buns.
That's right.
When y'all go to a player house and he just casually got a Dyson dryer laying
around.
You
know what that means.
You know what time it
okay.
is.
Okay. Wow.
For
so,
some people, it's extra toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's a $600 Dyson hair dryer.
And that's how you know.
And that's how you know.
Because who's requiring that?
Ooh, people better be so glad I say less than I know. I'm going to keep it
right
there.
That's the best way to do it.
Well, that's one of the 48 laws of power.
How about that?
So y'all be watching and reading. Y'all don't be really absorbing.
Mm-hmm.
But Auntie E over here be taking the shit in. Life hacks.
Which is exactly why your situation worked out for you.
It sure did in a upswing.
Yeah, a huge upswing, which they will see more of soon.
More soon. But yeah, so that's legally where Miss Erica is. I feel bad for her in the sense that I do believe after 6 years, there was some type of, I believe Tiger Woods made promises to this woman, Dustin. Mm-hmm. I believe that he made intentions clear about securities that she was not going to have to worry about. But as we see, y'all, all of that oral tenancy, it's not that it's not enforceable, but what you have to do in a court of law to prove the tenacity and the vigor of an oral contract with someone with the fiscal means of a Tiger Woods, you are in over your head and you are literally fighting, I hate to say it, a losing battle.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this on the show season one, Dustin, where we talked about palimony, where you can get support absent being married.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that came from a historic case in the 1970s of a wealthy white woman who was in this exact situation with a wealthy white man. And what happened there, if y'all recall, jurors, she won at the first level of court. She got like, I think, $1 million, which was a lot at the time. And then that appellate court ran that right on back.
Yeah. Which they normally do. I tell you what, Tiger Woods has made it quite clear that he does not want our help as a community fighting his battles. I don't care about any of this. I hope she gets every dime. I hope that, and also tell me what you think about this, because as I was reading this, I was like, okay, well, maybe this is one of those things where you make the claim as large as you can. Mm-hmm. I know that she doesn't expect to actually get
$30
million from him.
No.
So how much money do you think? Do you think she will walk away with some sort of settlement?
Yes, I do. I do not think she's going to have to walk away with them three panties and that carry on.
Yeah, they were cotton panties too.
Yeah, I hope.
Because she had to hurry up. So I told her, you hurry up. You get that three pack, them Hanes.
Yeah, go ahead and get the
your
whole
ass
pack
out of here. Yeah,
yeah, the fruit of balloons. Listen, and then, yeah, I think she's asking for 30 mil in hopes of 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2 to 3. And also, I will say to that claim around him agreeing to put her up in a luxury resort for several weeks or months until, I believe that he said that to her. And to me, his inability and unwillingness, Dustin, to at least carry through that part just makes him just anti-keeping it player.
I'm not surprised. This is right
on brand for Tiger.
On brand for Tiger, and we know about the way that he moves and behaves in relationship with women.
True.
This is it. This is what we normally see. We were all really surprised that he was who he is.
Sure.
You know, but now that we know that, I mean, this is what I expect from
him.
Well,
like I said, go watch that documentary.
Mm.
When you see how Earl was getting down,
you're
going to see that baby Tiger got it honest.
Okay. Well, that that's a different conversation. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to watch that documentary then.
We might have to review it on our upcoming new show.
Give me some. Give me some. Jake Super Producer E.
Okay. So that's that on that. I will say the timing of all of this is not lost on me. That this, now that's a gangster move, E. E said, I'm going to hit you with all this shit right before you take your
right
ass to the Masters.
Right before the Masters, yep.
Give you something to think about while you on them greens.
And she said, while they talking about you, they're going to be talking about me too.
That's actually a very good point.
Yes.
She is being smart in raising her profile during all of this. Because I forgot what she looked like.
Yeah, I just remember dark hair and real nondescript.
Real plain Jane.
Real, looked like she could have worked at the hospital on Grey's Anatomy.
Well, that's actually, she used to work at his restaurant. That's
how
they met.
Oh, that makes sense then.
Yeah, she was a manager at one of his restaurants in Florida.
She looked like food service management.
You said she looked like she was in hospitality?
She did. Okay, and not in a bad way. She literally looked like if you go into a restaurant.
If you go into McCormick and Schmidt.
McCormick and Schmidt, at best.
At best.
Okay, I was going to give
Maggiano's.
Her Golden Corral.
Okay, you know what?
You know, that's what I saw when I had Shoney's. Taken a look. Shoney's, Sizzler even.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I saw. But
come
you know.
On. Primes. If you in the South, what you know about that Prime Steakhouse? You don't know about it. And them yeast rolls.
Ooh. That people go for, okay?
Yeah,
the rolls.
With butter that's really honey.
Mm-hmm. That she's making sure are hot and fresh. That's what she looks like.
Now, none of the other food be doing nothing for you, but those rolls.
Those rolls are
and that
what,
sweet tea.
And that's what you go for. You
and
know what I mean?
Well, I mean, what else are you going for? The whole meal was $6.99. What the hell you expect? Anyway, shout out to Shoney's and Prime.
And Erica.
And Erica. Yeah, sis, I really want you to win, truth be told.
Me too.
All right. Speaking of winning, who's not winning this week was Mike Epps on social media. Everybody and their mama was talking about this, Dustin. Mike Epps found with a firearm at Indianapolis Airport. Here are the facts. March 5th, airport police officers responded to a firearms investigation at TSA. I have to just say this. I cannot personally go through TSA. And, you know, because of what we do in the world, Dustin, you know, we both fly often.
Yeah.
I can never go through TSA again in my life or even say the words TSA and not think about our dear friend to the show, Lil Rel.
Oh,
Lil Rel has impacted TSA culture.
Yes, he has.
In a icon status way. And I just want to give him those flowers.
Shout out to Lil Rel.
That's our dude. And he's also a juror. So.
Wonderful. And he's hilarious.
Hysterical.
Yes.
Really what comedy needs going forward. You can be both conscious as a black man and
how
funny.
About that?
Amazing, huh?
It's almost your duty when you think about, I hate to make that pivot, but when you think about
the
integrity of like the great comedians of our time, there was always a thread there of fundamental, ethical, beneficial comedy things. They were talking about things in a funny way, but they were having important conversations.
The king of that was Richard Pryor.
Come on now.
Richard Pryor already laid a blueprint for what that looks like.
Come on. Like, so, it's almost your responsibility.
That's it.
You know, and so I love that Lil Rel is continuing that tradition.
He is. Well, he's smart enough to do so.
Right.
Let's tell the truth.
Right.
And
right.
Shame the devil.
That's what it takes.
You got to be a little smart to do that.
Yeah.
If you're a little more simple-minded, well, then we know what that looks like as well.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the commentary of the story. TSA.
Yes.
Mike Epps is going through TSA, and then that's when they find this firearm inside his backpack. Allegedly, according to the original facts. Police spoke with Mike Epps. They told him Mike said, I'm in town for a show at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and I forgot that the handgun was inside his backpack. According to the report, police found a .38 special revolver loaded with four rounds of ammo, none of which were in the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
The police then seized the handgun. That was more or less it.
Okay.
We want to be clear. The spokesperson for the airport has confirmed Mike Epps was not arrested in any way.
Right.
Okay, so no charges. There's nothing criminal in nature here. There's just a confiscation of the firearm.
Right.
Mike Epps decides it's a good idea to go on a video on Instagram, enter social media, and say that he had, quote, a long night and that he carries a gun for protection. This is circa NBC News. Epps says this, quote, shout out to all my friends out there. And I want to apologize if you're seeing any negativity about a gun charge at an airport. I had a long night. I had a show in my hometown and I literally forgot that I had my pistol in my bag. That's how you know he a grown ass man.
He called it a pistol.
It was a pistol. Now, if you want to know why I carry a gun, I carry money all the time. I be having jewelry on and these dudes is out here robbing people. So I want to make sure I make it clear that I ain't out here doing nothing wrong, but I keep a gun on me because I got to protect myself. Sometimes I'm not with my security. So just want to let y'all know I'm still on some positive vibes and sorry that it happened. All I can tell you is that the world is a crazy place. Stay strapped, end quote. So while overall, Dustin, I like the comment, I appreciate the tone here from Mike Epps. As legal counsel, it's ill-advised to make any admission of any kind prior to full and complete disposition of the circumstances. Right?
The most simple of concepts. You shut up until it's over. But this, to me, Ebony, is a classic case of people thinking that they know better than to follow procedure in certain cases, right? Mm-hmm. Nah, because I didn't do nothing wrong, so I'm just going to go on here and, you know, say this or whatever instead of waiting and handling the legalities of what all needs to be taken care of.
Indeed, and here's the thing.
It's very T.I. of him.
Yeah. Very Tip Harris of
very
him.
Very much.
So, is his name Clifford?
Clifford.
Ciao. Mm-hmm. Let me just move straight on from it. So, who goes? Because, you know, I'm trying to have seasons 3, 4, and 5.
Come on.
So, what Mike Epps is doing, I've seen celebs do this before. And again, I just cringe as defense counsel. Mm-hmm. Right, Dustin? I cringe because you are putting me as your attorney in a precarious situation because you're limiting my defense options. So one defense could be throwing yourself on the mercy of the court, right? Your Honor, my client is very sorry. He had, you know, these intentions. That's one option. And that's where an apology to the court at the appropriate time, i.e. sentencing.
Mm-hmm. In front of the person you need to be apologizing to.
The judge could be appropriate. So I'm not against apologizing. But there's a time and there's a place, mm-hmm. as you just remarkably pointed out, Dustin, you got to follow the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you start these apologies, and I understand what they probably think they're doing, getting out in front of it, right? I want to, maybe if I go ahead and own it, or I go ahead and say I'm sorry, or I go ahead and try to look, put a good spin on it, it'll help me. From a PR perspective, perhaps.
Right.
Maybe your publicist told you to do that shit.
Right.
Wouldn't be surprised.
But that ain't who we need
to. But your publicist didn't go to law school. And your publicist is not certified to practice. And so what you're doing is you're tying the hands of your legal counsel who might want to argue lacking of possession at all. But now I can't even do that, Mike. Now, let's be clear. I don't think anything bad is going to happen to Mike Epps. I think that he was fortunate that, you know, the gun was not per se loaded. The ammo was not in the chambers, correct. There's no arrest. But just because, and I'm going to leave it with this, and then I'm going to get to legal rights of guns in airports.
Okay.
There are some circumstances in which you absolutely can have a gun. Mm-hmm. At an airport, you can fly with a gun in most states. But we want to get to that. But before we get to that, last point of cautionary tale around the Mike Epps of it all. You just don't want to assume disposition of your situation simply because you're not arrested right then and right there. Because
it can still happen.
Investigations can breathe, as law enforcement says. We're letting the investigation breathe. I've called law enforcement at times where my clients, Dustin, have been in, you know, similar situations to the term of, it was a situation, confiscation happened of anything, firearm, drugs, mm-hmm. you name it, any contraband, drug paraphernalia, mm-hmm. and my client's like, "Woo, thank you God, I got away with it." Ah, relax. Let me call and see how they're thinking about moving. Officer so and so, how you doing? Yeah, I just wanted to follow up and see, you know, how y'all are feeling about such and such, such and such. Well, Miss Williams, you know, we just gonna let our investigation run its course. We're letting our investigation breathe a little bit. We'll let you know, when we figure out how we want to make some next steps. Okay, so that's. It's not disposed of yet. See what I'm saying?
It's just on ice.
It's on ice. And don't fuck around with no feds, because they'll keep you on ice for 5 years. Mm-hmm. It won't give a damn about it.
And we'll build and build and build and then say, hey, remember
knock,
this?
Knock, knock, knock.
And this?
And remember, and what's going in the court? Oh, your Instagram apology when you thought that was cute? So just keep it cute, y'all. Keep it quiet. Let me tell you how to talk to law enforcement. Don't.
Right.
Without your attorney.
Right.
Let me tell you what you go on social media and say after you've had an encounter with law enforcement. Not a motherfucking thing. Not a motherfucking thing.
Because your apology is essentially an admission of guilt, right?
That's how it will be argued by prosecutors.
Like,
so,
because what are you apologizing for?
If you didn't do anything. And even if you did do something, respect your legal counsel's options.
Yeah.
I'm saying this with a chip on my shoulder as legal counsel. You fucking up my whole strategy, sir.
Which essentially is fucking up your chances.
Because I'm only here for you. Okay. Now, let's talk about circumstances in which you can travel with firearm because, of course, you know, this is America.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Second Amendment,
mm-hmm.
which so many people love to tout.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, it is true that this is a country where there is some level of self-protection afforded according to our Second Amendment of the Constitution. So, according to the resources, ATF's website in particular, ntsa.gov/travel, you can travel and transport an unloaded firearm. Key there is unloaded in a hard-sided locked container.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen these before, right? But you've got to check it. Mm-hmm. It's got to be checked baggage only. And you have to declare the firearm. Normally, you want to do this at the counter.
Right.
Okay? Don't take your ass to that TSA line.
Right.
And have little rail.
Uh-uh. Mm-mm.
Go ahead and take care of that with your airline.
Get your papers.
Get your papers together.
Mm-hmm.
At the counter when you check in and check that bag there. A firearm should never make it to TSA.
Ever.
And that's where Mike ran into problems. Okay? Everybody clear on that? I hope so. Shit.
Because we don't need no trouble. Did you see that man acting a fool on the plane the other day?
I think
trying
somebody
to open
sent
the
emergency.
Yeah, the exit door and stuff. Then people got on that plane and jumped him. You know, I would have been digging my elbow all in his nose and eye socket. I'd have been beating his ass. I'd have been so nervous, Ebony.
No, that's just really not a place. You know, when you're talking about, especially, we live in a post 9/11 society.
Yeah, yes.
Okay? When it comes to airport, TSA, airline security, all of that, we talked about it
mm-hmm.
on the show before, y'all. Once you purchase that ticket, you have actually agreed. In writing.
To
all of the terms and regulations, mm-hmm. the conditions, mm-hmm. terms and conditions that we be talking about every episode, Dustin. And you are actually saying that you can be removed
mm-hmm.
by anybody for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
And your place to fight is not on the motherfucking tarmac.
It is not.
Let's be very clear. Lawyers have been saying that Shaquille O'Neal, Dr. Shaquille O'Neal, has been evading service, Dustin, by hiding inside of his house. So what's he hiding from? Remember the crypto FTX scandal, really, that has come about in the last few months? It's really sad to me. So let's just talk about crypto for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I'm wearing, as we speak, what does my sweatshirt say, Dustin?
Generational curse breaker.
Okay. Go ahead and read the rest of it.
It's a noun, and it's a person committed to building legacy mm-hmm. by breaking the cycle of emotional, mental, and financial poverty that previously plagued their lineage.
Let's focus on breaking financial poverty.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it more than most, right? We talk about it all the time on this show, D. Breaking generational curses of financial oppression,
mm-hmm.
Which we get honest. Redlining, all of that, you know, all the gamut. The reasons that black wealth is but a tenth of white wealth in this nation.
Right.
This nation that we built.
Mm-hmm.
For free. It's a tragedy. And I so love that we are a generation, Dustin, that is so committed to breaking that poverty cycle.
Yeah.
That we are really having conversations over brunch with friends and family, over social media, everywhere we go. We got merch and shit to go with it.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole vibe.
Yeah.
I love it. But in our haste
mm-hmm.
to break these cycles of generational poverty, unfortunately, Dustin Ross, some of us are making moves without all the information. So unfortunately, and I've covered this in length on my Griot News show, The Griot with Ebony K. Williams. Make sure y'all check that out. That's on The Griot or anywhere you can get The Griot, including your free apps, every day at 6 Eastern.
That's right.
We talk about how black folks disproportionately invested in crypto. We are, when you look at the numbers, there were far more black folks investing in crypto than white people.
Mm-hmm.
So simply said, that should raise some concern. Just common sense says, why aren't these white people who we know historically whiteness is profits above all? Why are they not rushing to put their assets into crypto? Right. But we are. And I suspect it is because many of us, Dustin, I get it. We're trying to make up for lost time. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out what's the investment tool, right, that's going to get us the most bang for our buck the quickest. And that looked to be crypto. I mean, you know, go ahead.
Nothing. Just as you mentioned previously, the haste of it all. Like yeah. in your haste, sometimes you can make critical mistakes. Yeah. And this is one of those cases, right? You can't always get the quick fix to something. Some stuff you have to take the time and nurture and build mm-hmm. and be strategic in your approach with. It's not always an option to have a quick fix. And for yeah. a lot of people, this crypto investing was a quick fix yeah. to find some sort of financial stability. And you got to get in on it now.
Yeah.
While it's in
yeah.
And I don't like things that feel like that. I yeah. like to be confident in my decision making. And so this already is just not in alignment with like my personal.
How you move.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah. But unfortunately, a lot of folks bought the hype, literally bought
mm-hmm,
the hype
mm-hmm.
to their fiscal detriment.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say a part of that were all of these celebrities, you name them, Shaquille O'Neal included, white, black, and other, all these football stars and quarterbacks and actors and influencers all telling you, consumer, to put your money in crypto. That yeah. it was going to, you know, you're going to get a 15, 20, 30% even I saw up to return on your investment.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me sad, but it happened. And some folks, because they didn't know better, did that. And now they're suing. So let's get to the legal of it. An Oklahoma resident who had an FTX account is suing, claiming that the celebrities who endorsed the company engaged in, quote, deceptive practices to sell FTX yield-bearing digital currency accounts. There have been multiple efforts to serve Shaquille O'Neal specifically, one lawyer claims, who has, quote, chosen to evade service in order to draw out these proceedings or to otherwise attempt to avoid answering for these allegations, end quote. Dustin, the lawyer, says the check is hiding inside of his home in an effort to not get served. The visual is just funny.
Hilarious.
Right.
Because Shaq is 13 feet tall.
Literally.
And so him ducking the front
and 500
door.
500 pounds.
I'm trying to tell you, that is a lot to be hidden. You talking about hidden figures. Okay, that's a lot of figure to be hidden. Okay?
That's quite a figure.
Wow.
Oh, God. So as reported by Forbes, over the last month, Shaq has allegedly hidden inside of his home when process servers appear at his door with court papers. And you know he probably got one of them see-through ass. You know how black folks, when we get money, you don't like no curtains. That's the one. That's the first thing.
Yep, because we're tired of that.
Because we're tired of curtains.
That's right.
We're tired of blinds.
That's right. And we're living somewhere now that we have all this money, you
yes.
know, where we don't need to cover our damn windows
up. We want glass.
That's
all
right.
glass, everything.
But that also means you got to do a lot of looking around corners.
A lot of dodging
you got to duck and
dodge.
Weaving. Yeah.
And dodge and weave. So I could just see it now. I feel like for some reason I'm seeing this in Miami and I'm seeing all this glass and shit and I'm seeing the process server walking a long ass circular driveway and Shaq like diving his big ass over the couch.
Absolutely.
The lawyers also claim to have contacted Shaquille O'Neal's last known litigation counsel to no avail. So let's break it down. So you said something at the top of the show, Dustin, that is worth revisiting. What's wrong with your ear?
My ear was just itching underneath this.
That means you're going to get some money.
Oh, does it? Well, let me scratch a little harder then. Okay.
Let me tell my grandma Katie to make sure she best. Everything that itch or scratch or hurt, baby, that means some money coming.
That's right. I heard about that when your hand is itching.
When your left hand itch.
Listen.
That's the big bag.
I don't feel nothing. But I want to. Yeah,
it's coming.
Okay.
I'm going to check in with you midday.
All
see
right.
how it's feeling.
Yes, 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 yes.
We're talking about breaking these generational curses, damn it. Come on now. All right. So you said if you don't, what did you say?
I thought you didn't have to answer the damn door if you don't want to.
And that would be astutely correct.
Okay.
So according to the law, let's say this hypothetical process server knocks on Dustin's door. Dustin, you home, but you don't answer. Is that evasion? Courts say absolutely not. Failure to answer the door does not constitute evasion of service. You do not have to answer the door when a door-to-door salesman approaches you.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer the door when the politician comes knocking.
Or who else?
You're going to get mad. I already know. You're going to get mad.
Or who else?
When
hey, I'm triggered.
I know, you're triggered. When they're very good and faithful, Jehovah Witness come to your door.
That's all right, because I'll be asleep on Saturday mornings now. Or just getting home, okay?
You just be getting off work.
Okay, just getting off work. That's right, because it is a job.
It's a job, honey.
all my years and fears and my tears. It was hard knocking on them doors.
I know it, baby. But you do not have to answer the door when any of the aforementioned come knocking. That's not evasion. Now, let's think about this. Last year, Shaquille O'Neal did speak on this. Again, ill-advised. Ill-advised.
Running that mouth again.
Talking too much. Just stick to the Papa John's commercial, Shaq.
Rich niggas love running their mouth about some shit. You are not free from harm or free from vulnerability.
Why are you compelled to say anything? But this is what he said. He says, a lot of people think I'm involved, but I was just a paid spokesperson for a commercial. Dr. Shaquille, that there, what you just said in the back half of the comment after the comma, is the involvement people are talking about. But I'm a leader.
Like, there. What's not clicking? Like, that's literally that's why you're in the position you're in, because you did that. Let the lawyers be lawyers, man.
Please. Just let your lawyer, because I know you probably got them on retainer, like, by the bucket load. Let them do their job.
Let them. And lawyers, start telling your clients to shut the fuck up.
And publicists, stop telling your lawyers to talk so damn much. Because a lot of this comes from the PR department. You know, they're so worried about narrative that y'all are not thinking about the consequences. That's another episode for another day. We're going to get into that.
Narrative versus consequence. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
You're making me laugh today.
That's you. Okay, so let's talk about when someone actually is, actually really evading.
Okay.
Because that does happen, right? So people are like, well, you know what? What can you do if I'm doing my part?
Mm-hmm.
I've hired my process server. They're supposed to serve for anything. Divorce, custody, civil litigation, whatever it is, right? And I can't find a motherfucker. They just missing in action every time. Couple options. Number one, you can ask the court, depending on where you live, if you could serve by mail. But this requires things. So listen, don't just go to that in your haste. Okay? You have to show with the court and file a motion with an affidavit. And anytime we use the word affidavit, jurors, that means that is sworn. That's essentially sworn testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you put in that the four corner document of an affidavit, act like you on the witness stand with your hand on that Bible.
Because it's the same
because
thing.
Because it's the same consequences of perjury that apply.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put in the affidavit and you got to put a whole list. It can't be no one or two times I tried to pull up and serve. It's got to be, I tried to do this. I went to their job. I went to school. I went to I went to their mama house. I went to their lawyer house. You have to go prove that you did over and above good faith efforts to personally serve this individual to no avail. And then and only then, Dustin Ross, will a court entertain the possibility of letting you serve by mail. Because service by mail, let me tell y'all why this is the way it is. Service by mail runs a very high risk of that individual not receiving the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And while I understand it's very frustrating when you can't get your justice, your day in court because someone is not being served. I get that. But the courts are always going to yield on the side of caution when it comes to all parties having notice.
Okay.
Okay, that's just the way the courts. Notice is a big fucking deal in court.
Mm-hmm.
If you overstep the process of notice, the whole thing is null and void.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that comes. That's why it's so hard to serve someone by mail. Now, some states, now this is some real gangster shit. Some states, not very many, but some, allow you to do something called drop service. And that's just what it sounds like. Drop and roll.
Just throw the shit in the yard and keep rolling.
Literally. If you can prove that someone is avoiding, truly avoiding, not just not coming to the door, but really actively and by showing a pattern, avoiding service, the papers can be thrown and left on the ground in front of the person's dwelling place or under the car windshield. Remember that? While the subject is there. So drop service is not permitted in most states, but check your local listing.
That's hilarious, and it reminds me of a stand-up set that Cheryl Underwood did many years ago.
I love
about
Cheryl Underwood.
She's one of the greatest. She was talking about having a fine, you know, partner. Like when you go with somebody that's attractive,
yeah,
don't let nobody in your house, because what do they want to do? Get in your house and meet that motherfucker. She said,
absolutely.
Your girlfriend call you, girl, I want to bring back them brown shoes I brought. Bitch, throw them in the yard and keep rolling. Okay? Throw them in the yard and keep rolling.
Call it that drop service,
drop
bitch.
Service.
Yeah.
Drop
My
service.
My grandma used to give good advice about that stuff too. One thing she said, and I think people know this for the most part, but some bitches don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a partner who's also a good lover, I'm going to say it nice and later. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes, you are.
You better not tell nobody all that deep bragging, because women are different.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want a man like that.
We want that man.
We want that particular one.
Ah, okay.
That's what Grandma Katie, that's how gangster my grandma was. Baby.
Game by the pound.
Game
okay.
by the pound. Baby. Baby. You get a man take good care of you. You get a man that does what a man's supposed to do the right way. Keep it to yourself. All that, my man do this, my man do that. Your girlfriend be like, really? Girl, really?
And one, it's curious. They get that curious. Curiosity will kill that cat, won't it?
Literally.
If the plans work out.
Literally. Bitch, you end up fucked up. That's why my man can't handle it. But you know what? Let me stop talking, because you know this is the end. We didn't ran the clock out. This is the end of the episode. Looky here.
But looky here.
Look at there. Look at there. Say by the bell.
Okay.
Oh, this was fun.
Very. Very.
Y'all join us next week. We're gonna be right back in court. We got some more stuff to talk about, more things to unpack.
Yeah, we do.
More headlines to cover.
But
in the meantime, y'all stay safe. It is spring is upon us.
Spring has sprung, hasn't
listen,
it?
Listen, we had to spring that thing right on forward.
Okay. I looked at the clock and said, now what? Not what?
Listen, the day has gotten long.
That's right. But it's good though. I welcome it.
I totally welcome it. It's a good news season.
Yes, it is.
In
the
every
good
way.
News. Just like Bet on Black. The good news about being black in America today. Get your copy everywhere books are sold.
Wherever you get your books, baby.
That's right.
Keep the faith, y'all, and always read the what, Dustin?
The terms, conditions, and Bet on Black. The good news. Okay.
Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jay Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.